Hello, friends and family. Welcome to the latest episode of The Random Show, episode number 20. I'm Kevin Rose.
Tim Ferriss.
We are here live. We're coming to you live. We're live right now. We are live. But this is actually taped. But welcome to 2013. Cheers.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, man. I can't believe it's 2013 already. It's crazy. Got a new book out. Lots going on since the last little podcast.
Those Mayans.
Oh, yeah. They were wrong, weren't they?
Math. Astrology.
So what's up?
Well, happy to be back in SF. Spent a couple weeks with the family on the East Coast.
What did you do for New Year's?
Real quiet. I've never been a big rah-rah rager for New Year's. I've done it a few times, but it's just I was with my girlfriend and then another couple, two dogs, building fires, drinking a lot of wine, eating a lot of food, and that was it.
What part of the world were you in?
We were in Southampton, New York, and ended up doing a polar bear plunge the following morning. So went out and ran into the bay, which was 41 degrees. I think it was 41 degrees, which is cold.
Just butt naked?
No, it's in bathing suits.
Okay.
And
because I've seen those polar bear clubs where they all just get naked and jump in the freezing water.
Yeah,
that always looks fun. Glenn,
it's great. It's amazing. And I have a number of friends. Actually, one of the things I'm hoping to do more of is cold water swimming this year. So Dave Ewing Duncan, who's a writer and a guy I've gotten to know a little bit better in the last 6 months, as well as a lot of other people, swim in the bay here, and they'll go early mornings. And it just, according to them, gives them this high, effectively, for like the first 10 to 12 hours of the day. They just feel really,
really
euphoric and optimistic.
So you've done a lot of writing on cold, not water, but ice packs for weight loss.
Yeah, cold exposure.
Like, what is it about the, I mean, I've gotten in cold water, it sucks. Like, you get used to it, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, like, I was just out at the holidays in Vegas, and I was in this hot tub, and it wasn't hot yet. It turned it on, and I got in, and Daria didn't want to get in.
Yeah.
And I'm freezing my ass off. But I could feel a little bit of warmth coming in via the jet. And, like, after a couple of minutes, it's kind of like, she came out, she's like, you're crazy. But you get used to it, right? Like, your body.
Yeah, you do get used to it, but it has some really cool effects on things like adiponectin, which is a hormone. And it appears to have fairly long-lasting effects, meaning the persistence of the effects on, say, the immune system or treating depression even. Cold exposure has been shown to be very effective in countering depression.
Well, because you're fucking cold. That's the only thing you're thinking about.
But it's what persists after you
come out of cold. How long does it last for? Just a few hours or like?
Well, I mean, I really think that it can have a lasting effect for like 6 to 12 hours.
He's not a cat.
He's not a cat, but he's cat-sized. He's cat-sized. He is kind of a cat. So, what's new with you?
Let me ask you one last question on the cold stuff, because this is fascinating. So, if I create a cold bath in the morning, can I simulate the effects by just jumping in that real quick?
If you create a cold bath in the morning, you could. What I prefer to do, there are a couple different ways you can approach it. So, humans have, even adults, which is something relatively recently rediscovered, have something called brown adipose tissue. So brown fat, which is brown because of the mitochondria in the fat tissue in, let's say, the upper neck area. And you can stimulate that and facilitate fat loss by using cold packs. I use ice baths, never in the morning, but let's say at night to accelerate recovery from exercise if I'm training really hard. Let's say jiu-jitsu or deadlifts or whatever.
And like right now I'm really sore on my teats because I was like doing a lot of chest exercises yesterday. Could I put ice packs on there at night?
Yeah, you could. You could. I find it more effective for the lower extremities. But I swear if you're in heavy training, it's like taking a day or two off of your recovery. It's amazing. I mean, it has a profound effect. In addition to high-dose glutamine, which I think is really, really effective. If you're doing, let's say, squats to failure, I'm doing more high-rep squat workouts these days, using high-dose glutamine, like 50 to 80 grams per day, which is very high, helps to alleviate a lot of the DOMS, the delayed onset muscle soreness, and allows you to train more frequently and with greater intensity. So anyway, I'm getting back into training because I've been writing for, you know, as you know, like a year and a half.
We had the little discussion last time.
Turned into a like skinny, fat, pained mess of a man. So I'm undoing all that.
How much glutamine are you saying?
50 to 80. It's also...
80 grams?
Yeah, in divided doses. I'm not a doctor. I do not play one on the internet. But glutamine, L-glutamine specifically, also has some very interesting potential applications to leaky gut syndrome.
So you said glutamine versus L-glutamine, same thing?
I meant L-glutamine.
Okay.
So synthesized glutamine. Very cheap. Super cheap. People spend so much money on supplements and wonder drugs and whatnot for performance enhancement or gaining muscle or losing fat. You can stick with dirt cheap stuff. I mean, it's really the cheapest stuff that's the most neglected, like L-glutamine. Super cheap.
Hmm.
Vitamin C also, for instance, very effective for fat loss. If you get it in powdered form and consume it in divided doses, super effective for fat loss if you're doing it in higher doses. But anyway, I could go on for hours about drugs.
Well, let's talk about some tech.
Let's talk about some tech instead.
So my first little thing to talk about today on the Random Show is the fact that I have moved to Android. I was the biggest Apple fanboy.
Product placement? No.
Here's the problem. This is so funny. Because this is difficult because the funny thing is, like, I work for Google Ventures. I'm a VC over there. If you're watching on Tim's blog and you don't know this side of the table. So basically, the issue is that people will assume that because I work at Google, they're like, oh, well, of course you're going to be a Google fanboy. And the thing about Google and the really cool thing about Google as a company is that they do not try and force any one platform on you. They're very much like an open culture.
Yeah.
And in their eyes, this is from the day that I started at Google proper. I was at Google corporate and then I moved to Google Ventures, which is actually a separate company altogether.
Yeah.
But when I was at Google corporate, meaning working on Google Plus and some of the social stuff, they weren't like, okay, oh, now's the time to use Android. Like, they said, what do you want to use? It's your choice. Do you want to use an iPhone or do you want to use Android? And they don't care because, you know, while the platform is important, and yes, Google does control the Android platform, they, I think, in some ways, see themselves as an application company. So they're more about the Google Maps application, which exists on iPhone and Android.
Yeah.
So anything that they create, there's always an iPhone equivalent to that.
Yeah.
And so they need people using iPhone internally. And they don't really... there's Chrome for the iPhone and for Android. Like, everything is cross-platform.
You must have taken a decent amount of crap about Android. Or so, have you not?
I've seen
a couple of ribs.
Listen.
But
I got to tell you, I shouldn't have worn this shirt today. It's just a bad choice.
It's also a Google hat, you'll notice.
No, it's not. It's Green Bay Packers. So the big turning point for me was that I am a technologist. Like, I enjoy technology in its purest form. I want the best platform.
Uh-huh.
I am not saying that Android is the best platform. There are more applications available for iOS.
The voice recognition is pretty amazing.
I'll get into that in a second.
All right.
There are more applications available for iOS.
Yeah.
Some great applications on iOS that you can't get on Android.
No.
There are the interface, the settings of like where to find things. Just the way that the menu structure is presented, like to send something. There's 1,000 different little usability things that drive me nuts on Android. That iOS clearly beats out Android. The reason that I moved is because a couple things. One, I believe that from a pure search... Toaster's eating in the background. From a pure search and technology standpoint, the Android platform, when it comes to voice recognition and search... And the Google Now feature is what Siri will be 3 years from now.
Yeah,
they have leapfrogged Siri. Yeah. I mean, like, I'll give you a couple examples. So I'm going to unlock my phone now. Right on the main menu, kind of like the way that you can access Siri when you're on an iPhone and you hold it down, is a little voice icon up here. Once I hit that, I can ask anything like Siri. You'll notice how much faster it is, though. It's just insane. Like, and some of the data that it can pull, I mean, if you think about it, it really makes sense. I mean, Google is a data company. if anyone has organized the world's information, it's Google. I mean, clearly they pointed this out when they took Google Maps off the iPhone and they launched Apple Maps. Apple, I think, has severely underestimated how difficult it is and the sheer volume of engineers and time it takes to organize this information. That's why Siri is not as good. But anyway, so how old is Tim Ferriss?
Timothy Ferriss is 35 years old.
I mean, it's insane. The stuff we can do, like, let's see here. Call Samovar Tea Lounge on Page Street.
Calling.
I mean, it just looked up, put me a map of Samovar Tea Lounge, and now it's calling. I'm going to cancel it, so I don't do that. but like anything, like you know, like it just like try this with your iPhone. What's the score of the Lakers game?
The Lakers lost to the Rockets 125-112.
Not that the iPhone can't do that particular feature, but just how fast it does it. It's insane. And the Google Now bit is basically like you swipe up from the bottom of the screen, it launches Google Now. It looks into my email. Like, look at this. Well, I don't know. Well, I can show this. Daria lands at SFO. So my fiance Daria just landed at SFO at 9:20 p.m. She had added that to my calendar. It looked inside of my calendar, saw that it was a flight coming in, looked at the flight, figured out when it landed, and then estimated that it would take 18 minutes on US 101 South to get from SFO to our house. That's awesome. Like, that is stuff that just Apple doesn't do. Anyway, long story short, it's that with, like, a handful of other things. And the fact that finally all of the apps that I use on a daily basis are on the Android platform, that I've been like, you know what? This is a pretty – that, and I got to tell you, the one thing, this is so much better than the iPhone app, the screen, when you get a bigger screen and you use this for a week and you go back to an iPhone, it feels like you're on this, like, little tiny compressed – like, they let you spread out the icons.
What's the one app you wish would have an Android version, most of all?
You know, I think that the Reminders app on the iPhone I used a lot because it had a desktop version. I also think that the iMessaging stuff where it could, like, send those messages, like, it's just way better. I mean, there's three or four things that I miss all the time that isn't on the Android platform. But for me, the benefits are finally outweighing. Like, it kind of also feels like a very hacker-ish OS. So, like, you can do pretty much anything, like, very low-level stuff in the OS, like running things in the background and all kinds of stuff. Like, I have an app that'll tell me how many steps I took per day with the phone because it's just constantly monitoring the accelerometer. Yeah. And, yes, it does eat some of your battery a little bit more, but it feels like – do you remember when, like, you first got into computers, like, in the early days, like, in the 90s or whatever, and it's like you had to install your own video card, you know, like, really proud that you did it?
Right.
Like, it's the same kind of thing where, like, shit's a little bit broken, but you install your own app and you're like, oh, wow, I'm hacking it so that it does this in a weird way and nobody else is doing this. It's like, it's a very, that's the kind of culture they have going on here.
Yeah.
So you can find a lot of really fun things. But anyway, it's been fun. It's been fun. And it's not, Google is not paying me to say this. I just because I actually was curious because I see all of the early builds of this stuff go around the campus. And, you know, before it's released, and, like, somebody will be sitting there, I'll be having lunch with somebody, an engineer, and they'll be like, check this out. And you're like, really? It's coming? It looks awesome. Like, I want to get on that, you know? So it's exciting.
Cool.
You're going to make the move next.
I have a move. Oh, I need to borrow a toaster for the move. What? But I'll borrow him later.
No, I'm in the move to Android.
You're very... I didn't mean I thought you meant move.
But actually, I'm just happy that you got on a smartphone. You were on, like, a freaking Nokia flip phone.
Were you about to MF me? I think you were going to MF me with my clam phone.
Yeah.
Wall Street style.
That's right. Like 6 months ago, you called Tim and he'd be like, flip, like clam phone out. Like,
yes. Well, we can't all be technology.
You're supposed to be a tech guy. You're like a tech guy.
I am. I try. I enjoy, I represent the interests in tech of the uninformed masses. So I come to the investment table.
Like the dummies books.
Yeah. I'm the guy who's like, if I can use this and I think it's awesome, there are millions of people who might be in that
position. I really like your opinions on the health and fitness genre of things. Anytime like there's a cool new health and fitness.
You know what I struggle with a lot is, I think I prefer that Malbec from Mendoza. In any case, where do you think... Where do you think the startup scene is headed in the next year or two? Do you think it's heating up, slowing down, you, like, implosion imminent? What do you think?
You know, obviously this is my full-time job, so I'm meeting with a lot of new companies every week.
So you can you afford to even, if you believed that it was going to be an imminent implosion? Well, Google Absolutely. Ventures is a weird, it's so different because you don't have LPs.
Well, no, I think that like every, so the thing is with LPs.
Thank you. Thanks, babe.
The thing is with LPs is that
limited partners, rich people
that
invest
in funds that allow people like me to go invest their money on their behalf, and then hopefully we all make money together. So essentially, what happens is that you know, every LP on earth wants their investors to be prudent with their money, right? They don't want them to just go out and randomly investing just because they have the money, right? Yeah. So, like, I'll give an example. This last year. You know, Matt Kohler from Benchmark, really well-known ex-Facebook guy, really smart guy, he had said to me that he didn't do any investments for the first 5 months of last year or something like that. And it was just because he looked at the landscape, he was meeting with a lot of companies, he didn't find anything that interesting. And so rather than spend the cash, he was just kind of on hold until he found something he was really passionate about. Yeah. And I think that kind of like, for me, I have been obviously grew up and have created companies in the consumer internet space, and so that's where my passions kind of lie. But I don't necessarily. I think that kind of whole genre of startups is kind of like, you know, with Facebook and Twitter kind of like getting to where they are today. I haven't seen outside of like Pinterest and some other big sites anything really that interesting starting in that space. Yeah. And so honestly, I've done a couple. By the time this comes out, I'll have done another one. Investments in the education space.
Yeah.
I think the education space is really heating up. Finally, teachers are understanding, well, first of all, the hardware now for schools has gotten cheap enough to where every student can have, you know, I'm not saying every place everywhere, but like the laptops are now $200, $300 and they're only going to get cheaper in the next few years. Same thing goes with tablets. And, you know, I invest in a company called Clever, which has basically standardized.
Yeah, those guys are smart.
They're awesome. Smart. They basically created APIs for all the weird old school proprietary back-end systems and have made it possible for applications to exist and be able to port around and move around all these weird old proprietary school systems. And so finally, teachers are getting it. They're like, okay, I'm going to rapidly deploy an application in my classroom, see if it works, and if it doesn't, you know, next semester or whatever, next school year, I'll yank it out and try something else. And so we're able to iterate a lot quicker in the schoolroom than we ever were before. And it's a really fascinating time. I'm seeing a lot of really innovative education startups happen.
I was just doing some hand waving. No, to translate that for people who are not in tech, imagine that you are a teacher and you want to use different types of software with your students, but the software's been around for 10 years. It's very cumbersome. You have to do a lot of setup for each one of these various programs, and that affects your willingness to implement them. What if you could
and you have to get buy-in from your all the way up to the principal
level.
Right,
so imagine if you could just go to effectively what looks like an iTunes and be like, click, 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 click.
And a lot of these are offering try now, like try before you buy.
Yeah.
Before you pay per seat so you can see if it's effective in your own classroom.
It's such an inefficient.
It's awesome.
Education's, I mean, it's such a fragmented.
I think the next two,
dinosaur.
3 years, it's going to be, we're going to see some awesome things happen.
So, what other startups have excited you in the last while?
I think
while?
The enterprise is
Weren't
finally
you
getting
Nest?
Sexy. Yeah, we did a big investment in Nest. The
Were you involved in that? Or not so much.
I was part of the team that made the decision to invest, but
okay.
I mean, I didn't go out and source the deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else?
I mean, I think the enterprise is finally getting sexy. I think that like a lot of the applications that you use in like your traditional like, you know, blue collar jobs, whatever it may be, like just like big, massive, like boring applications are now getting social. Yeah. They're now getting like, you know.
What type of application?
Oh, let's use Yammer, for example.
Yeah.
Like Yammer is an application that is used for project management that is like.
It's like Twitter for companies.
It's like Twitter for companies. And it's being now used in the enterprise at scale. And it's like, I think that people are looking at these big, old, stodgy, kind of nasty programs and completely revamping them, not only from a UI UX standpoint, like making them more beautiful, but also just like realizing that, you know, a conversation can happen, that groups can collaborate together in real time. And, like, the idea of these pieces of software being less old school corporate, like dot matrix printer days software. Do you know what I mean? And just kind of like coming up to speed. I'd say a lot of that happening.
What do you think of people who, so I think one of the approaches that has become very popular to talk about at the very least, which has not been my approach up to this point, partially because I don't have the funds or the attention to take this approach, but people who say, well, you can't know, it's impossible to know what startups are going to do well, so you should invest a little bit in everything.
I don't like that approach.
Right. So I want to talk about this because this has become a pretty prevalent.
That's the index fund.
Right. It's like taking the John
Bogle.
It's like
buying a piece of the S&P 500.
Right. S&P 500 approach and applying it to startups. And I've never thought that is particularly.
I mean, it might work. It might get you a very boring return, right? There's a reason why people buy index stocks. There's a reason why Vanguard's done so well.
But I feel like the ability to pick the mistake that a lot of people are making who are trying to analyze the startup market or investment market is they're drawing parallels between public equities, where information is very freely available, and startups, where there is a significant information advantage for particular people, meaning it's extremely difficult to compete against hedge funds and other people who can move public equities very effectively in particular ways, whether it's by taking a board seat or otherwise. But within startups, you can really pick your shots. And people have proven themselves pretty adept at doing that. Whether they're seeing the deals first, so there's a certain selection bias, is a separate question. But anyway, we don't have to go too deep down.
One other thing I wanted to bring up real quick is that and I know this is the area that you're interested in as well. CES is obviously going on right now as we're recording this. And, I have really noticed this year in the coverage, I obviously didn't make it out to Vegas, but the quantified self and actually wearable tech, like the Nike Fuel Bands, the Fitbits, the Jawbone Ups, like stuff like this, like Withings, the scale company, just came out with their own little clip-on pedometer now that does heart rate and everything. Fitbit today just announced a new bracelet that you can wear now.
Like
a Fuel Band type bracelet. It does sleep that lasts for on the single charge. Uses that low energy Bluetooth to do all the data transfer so it can last forever, meaning without having to recharge it, lasts quite a while. I really think that we're in the very early days of the kind of quantified self arena.
For sure.
The sensors are only going to get better over the next few years.
Everything's been accelerometer based. It's so boring.
It's boring.
There's so much cooler stuff coming.
It's like accelerometer. There's a couple other sensors. There's elevation. It gets steps and things like that. Yeah. But I've heard of and seen everything from heart rate monitors to blood glucose levels to a handful of other things.
I mean, we're going to get to a point where you have 24/7 monitoring to your smartphone with something that looks like a nicotine patch. That will take all of the markers that you're accustomed to getting from an annual blood test with your doctor.
It's so crazy how
I would say within the next year, within 2013, we will have
really.
Yeah,
I really hope that it comes out in the next 10 years. It really gets to the point where because
I've invested in a company that is probably going to do something like that. I can't talk about it right now.
Can you at least pass me the deal?
There are a couple of deals we've talked about. So let's talk about, I want to mention, quantified self. So this, at this page, I should have brought the notebook. I didn't want to leave it in the car. I have a lot of notebooks. I have what you might call hypergraphia, which is a fancy way of saying I take a shit ton of notes. I take way too many notes. I just take notes on everything. So I have fucking feet of notebooks. And
do you ever write down something halfway through and then you don't realize what it is and that you wrote down?
This is a Seinfeld joke in the middle of the night kind of thing.
On my paper here, I wrote down black boar, boars.
It's kind of ham, isn't it?
It's like a ham. But then I realized it took me 5 minutes to realize it was blackboard, and it was I just didn't finish it out yet.
Oh, I do that all the time, man. When I'm writing books and I'll take notes and I'm just like. I have no idea what that half page even means. where was I going with that? Oh, is that in this exact notebook that this page came from, which I've had for almost 10 years. Oh, hold on. Pause. Don't freak out. He's a very protective father. I want to do a quick demo.
Oh, Jesus. Don't do this.
No.
Let him go.
No. Hold on.
He tortures dogs.
I don't torture.
He put on his suit.
Watch. I want to show you guys. I want to demonstrate the moonwalk.
It's okay, but...
Watch.
Yeah, we eat on that table, like she said. That you've done this on the show before. It's okay, buddy. It's okay.
I love you, Thurston.
Let's go.
All right,
evil Tim. Okay,
it's pretty good, Glenn.
He hates
right?
You.
He loves me, and it bothers you so much.
No,
but
you put on a suit of bear, and you scared the shit out of me.
I don't know what you're talking about, bears. Well, why does he puke? Because you let raccoons in your house.
No, they break in, and he's our protector.
God save you. So, God damn it, this story is like the more boring with every second that it takes to tell it. This notebook piece of paper came from the notebook I've had for about 10 years, and I have my notes from the very first Quantified Self meetup ever with about 20 people in Kevin Kelly's house, and I still have...
What were you talking about back then?
Same kind of crap. Performance-enhancing drugs, all that stuff. Physical tracking, same stuff. Startups, just to get this out of the way, because there are a few that I've done that I'm pretty psyched about. One is Powder Mountain. So we talked about this.
Oh, I just got an email.
So yeah, so I did it. I ended up
bought some property out there.
Yeah, and I hate buying property. I've always been allergic to real estate.
Why did you do this?
There are a lot of reasons.
I haven't been there yet, so it could be amazing.
Yeah, so this is in Utah, and it is it's a ski mountain. Beautiful property that has been that is being purchased by the team behind Summit Series, and the guys behind Summit Series started Summit Series after reading the 4-Hour Workweek. So I've known them since the very beginning.
I haven't been to a Summit Series event yet. It's been my own fault because I bailed, but I've heard they're amazing.
They do a great job. I mean, they went from these are like 20-something-year-old kids. I mean, kids. Jesus, I sound like an old man. But they were so scrappy and like making so many mistakes in the beginning, like all 20-somethings. You know, when you're just trying to make shit happen, you have to play this kind of chicken and the egg game. And then
which kind of game?
It's so hard. But then like all the cold calls and everything. And now they have like Clinton speaking. They have the Roots playing for a week. They have last time I was there in Utah. Guess who they had DJ for like 50 people?
Mixmaster Mike.
Paul Oakenfold.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, and they've done such a tremendous job, and they're creating effectively a community of creatives and entrepreneurs and thought leaders as well as nonprofit folks in this community. It could be like an Aspen, but much scaled back. So I had been really fantasizing for a couple of years now about getting property in Utah or Idaho.
For your compound.
For my apocalypse-proof billionaire compound, which I have a blueprint for. It was supposed to go into the 4-Hour Chef, and then my editor was just like, why do you have 200 pages on, like, crazy post-apocalyptic scenarios? And I was like, good point.
Why did you have a chapter on eating ice cream until you puked?
To demonstrate that you could eat 15,000 calories in 20 minutes and still clock in with lower body fat a day later. Also because I thought it might be entertaining to take the photos, and then it was really gross. The Vermonster. Don't do it, folks. It's disgusting. So Powder Mountain, that's one. And I have this property. It's not a lot of property, but it's a bit on this mountain. And I've become really fascinated by tiny houses. Yes.
Tiny.
So tiny houses. There's a company called Tumbleweed Tiny House Company. And they make these houses that are like 300, 400, 500 square feet.
I love those little houses.
They're awesome.
Because they're like so super cool. Efficient. Like every little thing.
Everything is multi-purpose.
Yeah, multi-purpose.
And I wanted a place to escape to.
And those are cheap, right? Like you can build a tiny house
and we have
for
friends
like a
who have,
amount of money.
And we have, right, for like 40 grand, you can have a house.
A tiny house. How many people can you fit in your tiny house?
Not many. Like two. But I don't need more than two people.
So you had a friend's over and like...
Well, no, but check it out. Here's the thing.
I came over
instead of buying like one mediocre house...
Do you have a tiny hot tub?
I could buy... Oh, you're good. You're good. I could buy two tiny houses and then just be like, come hang out. And then
it's not a tiny house if you add two tiny houses
No,
together.
They're not together. They'd be like separated on my property.
Oh, okay.
See what I mean?
I thought you were going to have like a medium house by adding two tiny houses.
No. That'd be super lame. It'd be super lame. Anyway, all right, I'm digressing. There is a great book called Shelter, I think.
Is it expensive?
It's not cheap. But we can talk about it. If you're interested in the Founders Program...
I want a tiny house.
Dude.
It sounds awesome.
It's a good deal. The deal makes sense. Well, we can talk about it. All right. Second thing, I'm very physical.
He was grabbing my body fat all night long.
I was. Look, you hide it all on the sides. No, you're just I'm just amazed by his fat deposition. I'm pissed because my arms are smaller. I'm pissed because I can deadlift 500 pounds more than you.
Well, I mean, yes, your penis is large.
My face is large?
The penis. This is getting...
Wow, this is going off the rails. All right, the other startup is Creative Live. I told you about these guys. You met with those guys.
Yeah.
So Creative Live is, imagine if you took PBS, like the best long-form teaching content, and then you took like ESPN, like an NFL game with like 8 high-def cameras on dollies and cranes and all this stuff. And put it together, you get Creative Live, which was founded by a friend of mine named Chase Jarvis, who's one of the world's most successful commercial photographers. Does a lot with big brands, sports brands. Does a lot with skiing. He has something called the Octocopter, which is an 8-bladed helicopter that carries cameras, and so he can do all this crazy maneuvering when they're recording video for skiing. The point being, they brought in a guy named Mika Salmi. Who used to head up, I think it was either VH1 or...
MTV.
Specifically. And Rick Silvestrini, who used to be involved at the very top level with monetization at YouTube. And they're doing these 1, 2, or 3-day courses. And the model, I think, is just so smart. Number one, the production quality is, like, way beyond. So I did a 2-day course with them. But
when you say 2-day course, you mean, like, you're going in, they start recording you, and you're teaching the audience something.
Yeah, so check this out. For my particular 2-day thing, it was awesome because I had all these guest experts come in, like Dave Camarillo, who's a UFC trainer, amazing Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter.
I didn't see your video, by the way.
It's so good. Neil Strauss, 6-time New York Times bestselling author, came in to talk about writing process. We had so many amazing folks. One of the top 10 powerlifters of all time.
Did you shoot that apple off your head?
Yeah.
No.
Had an archery expert shoot an apple off my head and then taught us all.
How far away were you from him?
Like 30 feet. It was a good distance.
Were you scared?
Yeah. Was the arrow blunt? It was blunt, but I was facing the other way.
That's good.
Yeah. But it was super cool. But he taught three of us to shoot an arrow through a target that big from like 20 feet away in about 15 minutes.
I
yeah.
I did that.
It's tough. Anyway, so I did this class, and they built 3 different sets. So
it's like, anytime Tim like accomplishes like a major feat in life, I'm just like, yeah, it's probably pretty easy. And you even the same like, you're like, I just spent like the last 6 months of my life training for that.
So creativelive.com, check it out. It's awesome.
One thing I will say about...
I left out the most important part. It's free to watch.
That's what I was going to say. You didn't know what I was going to say. Like, the thing I like about Creative Live is that, and I did tune in for one of their other videos. It was more along design than it was your stuff. But if you don't want to pay anything, you just watch the whole thing. It sounds like we're doing an ad for them, but we're really not. I'm not an investor.
I'm an investor, but the concept is brilliant.
It is
because
cool.
They have...
You only buy it if you want to keep it, like, for later.
Yeah, if you want to download it.
Yeah, download it.
And it's... But just from,
which is great.
From a business standpoint, a lesson I want you guys to take away from this is that the capitalizing on impulse, I think, is very important. So if you download it before the streaming ends, it's, let's say, $100. If you download it after that point, it's $150. So there's a time pressure, and it works really, really well. And they track everything they do, like QVC does. That's one of my fantasies, is actually to go to QVC and visit their headquarters to see how they track everything in the control room minute by minute. No, they take you through in tours. They'll show you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really cool. Anyway, last one's BlackJet. You know BlackJet, right?
I do know BlackJet.
So BlackJet is like Uber for private aviation.
It sounds like some 1% shit.
It is a 1% shit. Don't give me that. You're in the 1%, you fuckface.
No, I'm not.
Of course you are.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you are. How much money do you have?
Oh,
me.
You totally are.
You're in the 1%.
Despite
your skull cap. So, all right. Fucking gangster 1%er. So here's the thing.
Wow. Where's all that hate?
Oh, all that hate. No, you didn't do... No.
I just worked hard for a few years.
Oh, look. That's getting all defensive.
Hey, listen.
Sounds like some 1% shit. Look, private aviation...
I didn't come from money. Like,
me neither.
My parents, like, were...
I had a rat tail. Rich people don't let their kids have rat tails. They don't.
I don't know about rich people, but I definitely my parents were definitely lower middle class growing up. So
look at how defensive he's getting.
No, I'm not getting defensive. I'm just saying that.
Here's the thing. For people who are interested in, let's say, private aviation for the price of first class or slightly more, BlackJet, what this does,
private
much
jets.
Like yes, what it does is
Are you an advisor?
No, I'm an investor. Straight investor.
Oh, straight investor.
So what BlackJet allows you to do, much like Uber allows you to capitalize on excess inventory or idle cars, black cars, to get a cab or car service, BlackJet, which is co-founded by Garrett Kemp, who's the co-founder of StumbleUpon, then Uber, and now BlackJet, allows you to do that with idle private jets. So if you need to fly at an odd time or whatever, it's a cool idea. We'll see.
The issue I have with this is that, and don't get me wrong, Garrett is a brilliant guy. He's obviously created some great stuff. The issue I have with BlackJet is that you're paying like the price a little bit higher than a first class ticket, yeah. right? And the benefit is that you get to cut some time off because if you're late or need to make something, like you don't have to go through security, you just walk on, you get on the plane. The weird thing about it to me, though, is that you're getting on the plane. It's not like you're getting your own private jet. Yeah. You're getting on the plane with like a bunch of really random strangers, right? Aww. Did your light just go out?
Yeah.
We're still rolling, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, keep talking.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you're just getting it. Have you done it yet?
Yeah, I mean, I flew, and it was the Swedish bikini tier, so I was pretty happy.
Why haven't you done it yet?
What was that?
Why haven't you done it yet?
The iPhone app isn't ready.
So, oh, but the service works.
Yeah, the service is gone. I haven't used it yet, specifically because, quite frankly, I'm not going to pay that type of pricing for the majority of the time. Yeah. If I need it for an emergency, for instance, with BlackJet, where I almost did use it recently, I had a media engagement. And look, everybody's going to be like, oh, that's some 1% shit. Great. You know, rather than criticizing, here's my perspective, and hopefully I don't get a whole, like, fucking Occupy Tim Ferriss problem, but look, which you don't want. I'm smelly.
You don't want to
I'm
Occupy
hairy.
Tim Ferriss.
You don't want to Occupy Tim Ferriss. But is, we both came from, I think, pretty humble beginnings. And it's like, our parents didn't have a ton of money.
I had my car repossessed when I was 22.
Well, I drive a 2004 Golf. The mirror just got ripped off today. You want to have a fucking battle
you
of...
Do, but
you, would you use,
ago,
would you use a shovel with a piece
ago,
of, like, charcoal to learn your math?
5 minutes ago, you were just like, I'm going to have a fucking multiple tiny houses on my plot of land.
Tiny houses? We're going to have... Do you want to have a, like, a who came from poor roots
no,
competition?
Just,
dude, a tiny house is $40,000.
Like, I'm making my own beef jerky. Anyway...
The poorest guy in, like, fucking Louisiana's house costs more than my tiny house.
Go ahead. You can have your tiny houses. You've done well. Wow, you're great.
God! So my point being that...
You deserve a tiny house. That's all I'm saying.
Is that you should look at the people who have the characteristics you admire, i.e. whether it's altruism or philanthropy or whatever it happens to be, within the 1%, and then emulate them and figure out what their best practices are, as opposed to making it like an us versus them thing. It's easy to drag people down. So the point being, yes, BlackJet is for the 1%ers. Uber... in many cases, is also for people who have more disposable income. That's fucking fine. There are other, obviously, questions about private aviation, but I think it's an interesting idea, and I think the point being that harnessing excess capacity, whether it's public transportation, black cars, brain power, just using like video games... let's say the Xbox to work on protein folding. I think this is actually a big project that was done across Xbox. It's really cool. Cognitive surplus.
I can't remember the name of it, but they was doing all that protein folding in your spare CPU cycles.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Right? So like figuring out how to use this excess capacity that goes to waste otherwise.
It wasn't SETI. SETI at home was all...
That's the alien one.
Yeah, the alien one, yeah.
Okay, I'm done.
All right, so moving on to my thing, we probably got to move here quickly. New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
So I've got a few of them.
All right.
So one of mine this year, without a doubt, is to take some Tai Chi classes.
I think that's what it's called.
Tai Chi. I want to try some of that. Some Chai Chi. Some Tai Chi. Like, it's something about like the very meditative, flowing movement of Tai Chi that I really appreciate. The other thing is that I want to follow the principles of my fiancé, soon-to-be wife's book, which I don't know if it, can you mention the name yet publicly?
Sure.
You have?
Yeah.
This will be out in like a week. Think long and hard about that.
I
We could go without the title to be on the safe side.
Yeah, Mr.
I'm just saying, just to play the responsible.
Anyway, we'll talk about it in a future episode, but
got plenty of time.
The book is coming out in a few months.
All right.
And
right.
What are you trying to do?
No, continue.
All right. So the book's coming out in a few months, and really, she has some great principles in there. Well, I won't go into a lot of it because the book's not out yet, but like chewing slowly. Just like general mindfulness around food, I think is an important thing.
So wait, how do you go from Tai Chi to that?
Because I'm just thinking about general things to like slow down.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of just like focus a little bit.
Yeah.
I think are important to me.
Why has that become important?
Well, I'll tell you, as you get older, and I hate to sound like an old man, is that, you know, I'll be 36 here in a month.
Oof, old man.
And I think that as you get older, certain things start to happen to your body. You know, you start to get, like, for example, like...
Andropause.
I had some vitamins last night before I went to bed, and I'm like, I have heartburn. Like, what the hell? Like, what happened to me when I was in my 20s? But, like, you know, it's like stress really... is, for me, I believe it's like this thing that is, you don't really notice it when you're in your early 20s. It's just like you're stressed, you're living, you're young, or whatever, you're going out, you're drinking, having a fun time. And then, like, in your late 20s, you're like, things happen, your hangover's a little bit worse, you have little weird twitches in your eyes and legs and weird things happen. And then, like, in your 30s, you start to get indigestion and weird things. And I just, like, I realize that this is kind of this it's not something that it adds up over time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you wake up one morning and you're like, I'm a stress ball of craziness and I don't want that to happen. And I know that like, if I just keep going like status quo, like in a few years that will be the case. And so for me, it's like, what are some things, some habits that I can start to incorporate in my life that will, you know, alleviate some of these problems and also just set me up for the future.
Yeah.
And so,
Tachi's,
you know, one of the things about Daria's book is that it talks about habit forming, and I think that's really important. It's not just about the random fad thing that's going on. It's about creating real lasting lifetime habits. So that's definitely something I'm excited about. And so that pertains to all aspects of my life, whether it's food or Tai Chi or just like things to slow down a little bit.
Okay. What else you got?
So a couple things.
Not that you need a lot of things. Also, I think one of the big mistakes, certainly I've made with New Year's resolutions, is you come up with a laundry list of like 20 things to start in January, and of course it fails.
Totally. I always have a laundry list of things. One of mine is always drink more water, and every single year I never drink more water. Anyway, the one thing I will say is that this year this is a weird one. But I added to my list that I want to be more considerate and I want to follow up with people more. Because I feel that, like, I get a lot of emails, a lot of random emails and all stuff all over the place. And I feel that, like, in the past, I've always just kind of, like, shuffled that off, archived them, deleted them, moved on. Because I'm like, I'm too busy. And, like, I really want to, you know, especially when it's, like, friends, family, associates. Like, I want to take the time to reply and say something thoughtful and really think through what I'm trying to say and spend those extra 20 seconds per email and say something nice or ask them about something in their life. And just like really, I read this book, actually Dr. Weil's latest book, Spontaneous Happiness. It's about a book on just like how to be a happier person. And one of the things that he mentions in there is a really important trait that all happy people tend to have is their physical connection with people. Mm-hmm. And he actually mentions like touch and like actually touching someone and like the people that tend to touch each other more, except with your stupid pencil shit, where I don't know what you're doing, and nobody does, and everyone's confused, is that they're just happier people when they have more physical interaction. Stop touching me. I will do some jiu-jitsu shit.
You see what happened here? I wanted to take Kevin to the breaking point. I just staged a touching
intervention. Is that part of your list of things
touch
to do?
Touch Kevin's face more. No, now I want to play devil's advocate. Not because I disagree. I actually do agree, but like, how do you prevent responding to each of those from turning into a pen pal?
Oh,
a string of 20 emails.
Well, I can tell you my secret.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The secret is
smiley face response.
When you respond to someone, you always put like your mobile signature, like you're sending it from your cell phone, and then people are like, "Oh, he's on the run. He must not have time to answer."
That's clever. That's,
I'm only like 20% zen after doing that.
That's clever. I like that.
But so a couple of things I want to cover real quick. One, I got a new knife.
I know what this is.
It's a rainbow knife.
Now, when did you purchase this?
I had a few beers over at the house, and I was watching Rambo, and so I went on to Amazon, and I bought the official Rambo Part 2, First Blood Part 2 knife, and it comes complete with, we twist up the little end here.
Wow, these knife
matches.
Has Rambo and, on the sheath.
Surgical blade, waterproof matches, and a bunch of other stuff, so... This is the official Rambo. It had its own little compass in the end here.
Oh,
has
nice.
A certificate of authenticity. And
has a compass on the inside.
Yeah.
It's very convenient.
So anyway, that's my Rambo knife.
Can I see that?
Yeah. It's jank. I don't know why the hell I bought it. Literally, I had it shipped to Google. I got an email from them, and they were like, sir, we cannot deliver your package to the office, because they run... well, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but like, they look at the
they don't want people running around with one of these in the office. Can't imagine why not.
So I had to go. I had to go pick it up at the actual building. They wouldn't let it delivered. So that's one thing. I wanted to show a couple.
You
cool
should
things.
Use this to like chop celery in the kitchen.
You know, I've used it to open packages a lot lately, and it works great. So a couple of things I want to mention of cool things I've been into. So I just got this. This is chalkboard paint.
That's the blackboard.
Blackboard paint. It's chalkboard paint, or otherwise known as chalkboard paint. And actually, I just got this. We can show a clip of it here. I just got this, and I had it painted in my office. And so the entire back wall
is black.
Of my office is now black, and I can just draw on it.
Oh, that's cool.
So if like you're just like blackboarding ideas. And you just, you know, you can use it for just sketching stuff out. It just kind of gives you this open
that's
canvas
cool. I like that.
On a wall.
I was always wondering about that because one of my neighbors in the Noe Valley neighborhood around here has his entire living room above, I'm not sure, I guess the floorboards, maybe 3 feet, is all blackboard. And so his kids have drawn on them.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
I mean, I think it's great more for brainstorming stuff. The other thing I want to tell you about... is a protein that I've gotten into.
Indeed.
I don't know how you feel about this, but obviously, you know, when you're lifting weights and you're getting into health and fitness, not necessarily health and fitness, but when you're trying to put on muscle, you know, you've told me in the past 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight that you have.
Per desired pound of lean body mass.
Per desired pound. I've been undershooting a little bit.
Yes, you have.
So anyway, so I am very... picky about my protein in that there are a lot of stuff at GNC, a lot of different proteins at GNC that are just like, they're just mass marketed proteins that are like, you know, churned out.
Full of crap.
This is unique. And I have searched really hard for this stuff because I want to live forever. I don't want to die from like synthetic crap. So this is actually a company I found, Terrace Whey, who does a grass-fed, so it's not like corn-fed, like stuff-fed, and then grass-fed beef, whey, organic whey protein that's unsweetened. Why are you laughing at this stuff? This is great, dude.
This is serious.
I worked hard for this, man.
I know.
And it tastes really good. It's like, and
yeah,
it's low temperature processed, so they don't kill everything out.
Yeah.
I like it. It's just a great straight-up whey protein, 22 grams of protein per serving. I normally do like 50 when I'm doing it. And I take a couple scoops of this. And I mix it with some berries and a little bit of yogurt, and I have myself a little smoothie after I work out. And that's probably why I have bigger arms than you, most likely. No, I'm not. I'm just, that's just the way it is. For our body.
It's just nature. It's just nature.
For our body. I know that kills you a little bit inside every time it happens.
If I could do concentration curls with my back, I would. We should do a back pose now.
I don't even know what that means. How could you do concentration curls with your back?
That's so cool.
Precisely. All right, moving on. So, New Year's resolutions. I do have... I wanted to ask you, Christmas gifts. Any particular... And, anything particular that sticks out? Because one of my gifts is tied into my resolution.
Here's something interesting. Daria and I didn't do Christmas gifts this year. Oh, she gave me some glasses that we had found at the mall, and she bought them for me. Thank you. And I bought her a ticket to go to this place.
This place?
Well, I mean, we went on a flight together, and I got her a ticket, and we went on the flight. We went on a mini vacation over, over the holidays, and so I got a ticket to go last.
Okay.
Anyway, well, we did not exchange gifts. Well, she gave me a gift, and I opened it, but I didn't get her anything. It's fucked up. I didn't plan it that way, though. But anyway, we decided not to do gifts this year. That's all I'm saying. She hates Christmas gifts.
Uh-huh. Well, that's convenient. That's convenient. All right, so is that the end of the story?
That's it. Sorry.
Oh, all right. Well,
you're saying best gifts.
Yeah, I'm a materialistic bastard. No, I'm not.
The problem with gifts, dude, is like if you find something, don't you normally just like, you know, save up for it or go out and get it or something? Yeah. Like,
but sometimes I think I am not aware of what I need. And so it helps
Well, you
to have...
for sure. No offense. I'm just saying, though, here's what I'm going to say, and I don't mean to offend you.
Oh, well, this is usually what someone says before they offend someone.
No. Listen, we're all good at many things. You are good at many things, sir.
Wow, I'm really going to get insulted today.
Your girlfriend, who I know pretty well, is a lot more into fashion than you.
It's a very generous way to put it, yeah.
And I believe that you could use her gifts in the fashion department.
Look at this.
So I'm not saying I'm the freaking...
Yeah, no, look, San Francisco, it's where the people who have no fashion conscience come to live. So,
I mean, there's a lot of hipsters here.
Hipsters, they wear the same uniform, man. They all have the freaking 10-speed bike with no logo on it. The horn-rimmed glasses, the tight skinny jeans, the plaid shirt.
Those are also some of the best graphic designers I've ever worked with.
I'm not saying anything about their graphic design. It's just that they all have they have a uniform as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, so what were you saying? You were saying you got some gifts from your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, I have no fashion sense. But that's fashion.
You're looking pretty good, though, dude. These are new jeans.
Yeah, I got lucky jeans. They're good. And then I think this is like a $2 t-shirt
any
from
your,
Japan.
Your clogs that you normally have, the shoes...
My clogs. Oh, the...
The rubber ones.
The rubber ones.
Yeah, even Daria knows.
Yeah, I have rubber shoes.
I saw
shoes.
A five-year-old the other day.
Oh, nice. Yeah, those five-year-olds are catching up fast. All right, so a couple things. Two things my girlfriend got for me, and then one that my mom and my girlfriend got for me. So, what might that be? Yeah. So the first is related to, and they were all related to New Year's resolutions that I also had, which was cool. So my girlfriend got me something called a Zafu pillow, Z-A-F-U, which is really, really cool.
Is it a wheat husks or whatever?
No.
I had one of those.
This is like a ball-shaped pillow that is used for yoga in some cases, but what it allows you to do is related to the slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
Resolution that you had. I have the same resolution because it's extremely easy to wake up and immediately go into like a defensive work mode where you're just reacting to things. And I've wanted to start a morning meditation practice for a very long time.
Well, I have a Zafu pillow.
Okay, so Zafu pillows are really, really helpful because they allow you to sit cross-legged or one leg over the other without straining your hips in the beginning.
The little tube type.
Yeah. So what I started doing is, the difference has been incredible, even in the last week, is I will, in the mornings, and this is borrowed from a friend of mine named Kamal Ravikant, so Naval's brother, I'll sit on the Zafu pillow with my back against the wall, head erect, and I'll listen to one song and just meditate for that one song, 3 to 4 minutes. That's it. And... the song I chose, I was trying to play around with like the Lion King opening song, which was too much. It was just too much for me to handle. Slayer was also too much. I tried electronica and it was too that's not morning music. So I settled on It's Time to Party Like It's 1999 by Prince.
Amazing.
And it's great. The lyrics are amazing. Side note. But... So I meditate for that 3 to 4 minute period. And meditate for those people out there, because for me, I was like, meditate, ugh. And I've read so many books on meditation and Buddhism and stuff. Most of it I find to be like foo-foo bullshit, quite frankly. Hate to say it, but it's true. And in this particular case, I breathe in, and I imagine breathing in this sort of green light through my nose. And then I know it's... Look, dude. All meditation sounds fucking like, stupid when you verbalize it.
No. I love how you're like saying, oh, I found most of it bullshit, but I'm breathing green lights.
Well, look, the bullshit is, like, if someone rapes your sister, then you, like, pat them on the head because everyone is suffering. It's like, no, you fucking shiv that fucker. And that's like... And then all is right with the world. Sorry. But where was I?
Oh, at least you have a tiny house.
So you and your tiny house thing.
Yeah, I'm the same. So, you always refer to your tiny house.
Exactly. So the I breathe in and I imagine this green light, and then I breathe out and I see this sort of gray dullness that leaving me, and it's a focus on the breathing. And as I breathe in, I think about the things I'm grateful for. That's it. I just think about the people and things I'm grateful for 4 minutes. What was that?
Have I ever been one of the grateful things?
Tomorrow. You can be. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. You do it?
Yeah.
You're going to think of me.
Sure. I'll think of you. Green light. That's what I do before I go to Pornhub, usually. But I could change. I could switch it up. Glenn, make sure you keep that in. It's very important. So,
the are you a stockholder in Pornhub?
No, I'm not. I wish. Are you kidding?
Is that a big site?
Oh, dude. It's like... There are many sites that no one will admit to going to that are like top 12. Well, now you can.
I've been to RedTube.
Similar concept.
So the other
gifts that I got. So the loot arts, exactly. So the other gifts that I got. Thank you for this, by the way.
Yeah, no problem.
This is a little notebook from KevKev. The other gifts that I got were related to drawing. So I wanted to be a comic book penciler for about 10 years.
No way.
I was an illustrator for 2 years. That's how I paid part of my way through college. I can show you. I can show you some of my stuff.
You have the artwork of your house.
I do.
Well, but none that you did.
No, I do.
Really?
Yeah, it's like tucked away. And when I entered the real world, i.e. got a job after college, I just stopped. It ceased to be important to me. And then a few years later, I tried to get back into it, and then my skills had degraded so much. I was really embarrassed about it. And I was just like, ah, fuck it. And so there are a couple of things that are helping me to get back into drawing. So if anyone out there is a comic book penciler or a really good illustrator, I'm considering really jumping in for like 6 months and focusing on drawing to get back into it.
Wow.
But a couple of things I've learned. So one of the things that my girlfriend got me was a graphic novel of Game of Thrones. And I really enjoyed watching the entire series, two seasons of Game of Thrones. And then there's a graphic novel, which at the very end talks about the making of the graphic novel. And one of the recommendations was this. This is key. For penciling work, this I've looked far and wide. I've been really playing around a lot with penciling recently. This is a Prismacolor Kohl Erase, Kohl-Erase. This is an erasable light blue pencil. This makes it really easy to do a lot of fast sketching and drafting, and then erase and use something like ink or
what's that? It's like a penis.
You know what this is? Oh my god. I can tell you what this is. So no. I've had this book. This is a book that I recommend to people.
This is a cover up.
What is No. I'll explain this. So I haven't seen this in years.
It's a neuron.
It looks like a neuron. I'll explain what it is. Draw from your head is using the proportion of the head to develop a drawing style that allows you to draw humans in proportion. So using the length, width of the head to then draw torsos, legs, etc. It's a really good book. Anyway, this right here, after a visit to Panama, I haven't seen this in years, was a sketch of a house and a property where I stayed that I decided was my ideal house that I wanted when I grew up. So I drew this in, for those of you kind of keeping track, 4-hour work week. I ended up in Panama in January 2005 and then Argentina and did all the tango and everything. So January of 2005 in Panama is where I sketched all this out. And it has a stream here. I guess this must be a pool. Oh, yeah, pool here and then a separate river leading into it and breaking off around the house. It was amazing. So, yeah, I was so moved by this particular house that I drew it. But getting back into drawing, and then the most important New Year's resolution of all. Yes, those are breasts. That's penis.
And that's a lot of bush.
The most important New Year's resolution of all was doing less. Doing less. Committing to fewer things.
Do you know Norwood Pratt?
Why do I know that name?
He's like a tea master you met at some point, like an English dude.
I do know the name.
Old school.
Yeah.
He gave me a book to give to you called, like, it's called, like, something like Doing Less or something like that. It's in my library. He gave it to me about 2 years ago, and I never gave it to you.
Well, I guess now would be a good time. But honestly, just talking about...
That was a horrible story.
Just talking about, like... What I think are kind of BS concepts that get a lot of airtime. Like, we're talking about this, like, oh, invest in startups like you're investing in an index fund. I think that's generally horrible advice.
I didn't say to do that.
No, I know you didn't. I'm just saying this is something that's come up a lot in the last 2 years. Secondly, and I think similar to that, there's something that I've heard quite a lot relative to, let's say, Branson or others, where people are like, you know, you should say yes to everything. Say yes to everything because you don't know what doors might open.
A lot of work. I agree with that, but it's...
No, you don't, though.
I've said yes to a couple things where I was like, well, it actually worked out pretty
well. Yeah, but if you said yes to everything, you would not be able to accomplish anything.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
And Let me, sorry.
No, I'm done. No, I'm not. Right.
So, have you seen the movie Zero Dark Thirty?
No, I haven't, and I'm really eager to see it. I've heard it's amazing.
It's good.
Have you seen Lincoln? Yes, of course.
Yeah,
we saw it together.
So, so I want to see. We talked about this. Lincoln. Let's watch. Once it comes out on DVD or Blu-ray, we'll watch Lincoln, and then we'll watch Abraham Lincoln
Vampire Slayer,
back to back, and just don't tell anybody. Just roll them one into another. Because, you know, he kind of walks out and they're like, oh, he's dead. And then all of a sudden he comes back and just kills vampires. It'd be amazing.
Okay. Sure.
That's just an idea.
Any favorite books that you've read in the last 6 months?
The Dr. Wild book, Spontaneous Happiness. Okay. It's a bit of a downer. it's not a downer.
Seems odd for a book called Spontaneous Happiness.
No, it's just like there's bits of it that are like... Well, the problem is, like...
He is a pretty goddamn happy guy.
Well,
met him. I'm just saying, like...
Well, the thing is that there's bits of it that are like, if you have depression, here's something you should really consider. So there's, like, you have to kind of, like... Because obviously none of us have major depressive disorder, thank goodness. But, like, you kind of have to go through that stuff. But there's a lot of really good tips in there, man. There's something called, it's called, like... Positive psychology or something. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, Martin Seligman and those guys.
Yeah, they've got some books on like some things that you can do, like these little tricks that you do every day, and it just boosts your. It's like little like freaking B vitamin shots of like positive energy. It's like really not in a hippie way. It's really good stuff. it's really interesting. Like it's
Doctor,
a good read.
Yeah, anyway, Dr. Ross is a smart guy.
Pick it up when you get a chance.
So my pick for the last few months would be the new book by Nassim Taleb. Which is Anti-Fragile.
You left a book here the other day, dude. Why'd you do that?
It was a gift.
To who?
To you.
You didn't even tell me. You just left
Yeah, I gave it to you. You were too busy making Manhattans.
You didn't even tell me. It showed up here. I didn't know if it was for Daria.
You're having like a regressive blackout.
It was like, can't leave your book.
Well, you're welcome to read it. Kevin's clearly...
I want it, but I don't remember you telling me anything about it. I don't think you did.
Yes. So, Ping Fu, Bend, Not Break.
Bend, Not Break, yeah.
Yeah, it's an entrepreneurial book. She's pretty phenomenal. Anyway, thank you.
I literally was like, there's too much going on.
No worries.
I mean, that was a Rambo night, right?
Yeah, that was the Rambo night.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot happening. That was man night. There's a lot going on. But Anti-Fragile by Nassim Taleb is looking at not just what is... He breaks different types of careers, people, company into three categories predominantly. The first is fragile, where it's prone to fracturing or destruction. Then you have robust, which does not benefit from volatility, but it's more or less immune to volatility. And then you have anti-fragile, where like stochastic stimuli or random events actually can strengthen the organism, whatever it might be. And
what's an example of that? Like, give me.
There are different types of investing that could apply to that. Whether it's
apply to life, like all things.
Apply. Kind of, he has
like these, you get a virus and you become stronger because of it. Like,
right. He has lists. He'll look at things like physical training, for instance. I don't agree with all of his physical training observations, but the idea of, for instance, looking at pressure as applied through artificial respiratory machines in hospitals. If you try to normalize it at all times, you do not optimize the recovery time of the patient. If you're trying to recover normal lung function, you actually do need oscillations, like random oscillations of pressure to trigger normal, or I shouldn't say normal, but natural responses in those patients. It's a really thought-provoking book. He's very strong-minded, which I find pretty amusing. Because I've had two meals with the guy. He's very, very, very smart. But Anti-Fragile, definitely my most highlighted, marked up book of the last 5 or 6 months. And yeah, I think that's it. My girlfriend also bought me a teepee.
That makes sense.
A 6 foot tall teepee to go inside my house so I can crawl inside and like.
Inside your current house or next to your little house?
Tiny
house.
Man, you're bleeding that stone.
I love tiny houses.
Inside my current house. I don't think the 6 foot TV would fit inside my tiny
house. The reason
house.
I just keep saying tiny house is because Glenn and I used to be into this thing called tiny hats. Can we roll that at the credits, tiny hats?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Tiny hats are going to be the next big thing. Watch for 2013. Tiny hats.
Tiny hats?
No, tiny houses.
Tiny houses.
Tiny houses,
well,
too.
You have your tiny hats in your tiny house.
Yeah.
So, 2013. Should be a good year.
I think so. I'm getting married.
I know.
You're coming to my bachelor party.
I am.
You ready for that?
Oh, I'm ready.
We're going to the same house we did with, if you're a random show viewer.
Oh, that's right.
You will remember the bachelor party that we went to. We're going to the same house.
Yeah, there was some indecent exposure in the last random episode related to that.
What am I doing?
Kevin had nothing to do with it. Kevin was watching Disney movies the entire time.
Hakuna Matata. Until next time.
Hey, Chip, let's go. We'll be late for the game.
I can't. I have to put all of my dolls away.
Why?
Cindy's coming over for the first time, and none of these dolls have hats on.
Well, why don't you go down to Tiny Hats?
They're not open on Sundays.
They are now.
Tiny Hats is now open Saturdays and Sundays, so you don't have to worry about those last-minute tiny hat emergencies. Hats for small men and babies. Hats to complement cakes and pies. Wear one under your normal-sized hat. It's your secret. And now we've introduced a new line of extra-large tiny hats. Tiny Hats is proud partners with Dingle's Hat Experience.
And when we got up, she said, I'm with the SWAT team. Want some more wine, Cindy?
Sure. Cool dolls. Great hats.
Those are my dolls. And I got those tiny hats at Tiny Hats.
Everything okay in here? Oh.